Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercies endureth forever. Oh, give thanks unto the God of gods, for his mercy endureth forever. Oh, give thanks to the Lord. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercies endureth forever. Oh, give thanks unto the God of gods, for his mercy endureth forever. Oh, give thanks to the Lord of lords, for his mercy endureth forever. Hi, my name is Pastor Herbert Graham of Walking in the Light Ministries. I have just read you out of the book of Psalms, the 136th Psalm, verses 1, 2, 3. And I pray that today's lesson will be a blessing to you and to all to whom you will share it with. I am excited about what God is doing because truly God is good, and all the time God is good. If you have your Bibles with you, I'm going to ask you to open up your Bibles today to the book of St. Matthew, and we're going to be looking at the 27th verse. The Gospel of Matthew, and we're going to be looking at the 27th, and we're going to be looking around the 45th verse. But before we begin, I would like to open up in a word of prayer. Let us pray. Gracious Father, we come now to give glory, honor, and praise unto thy holy name. For you alone are worthy of our praises. You alone are worthy of all the glory, and you alone are worthy of the honor. Lord, as we look into your word, we ask you to give us fresh rhema from heaven, as only you can give it to us. Give us understanding that we may understand in thy word what the Spirit is saying to the church. Holy Spirit of the living God, we ask you to have your way in this hour. Move upon us, teach us, show us the truth that is in the word of God. And Father, we want to thank you for your Son, our Savior, Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, we ask all these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Matthew, the 27th chapter. And we're going to be looking at the 45th and 46th verse. But before we begin, I have titled today's message is entitled, The Key to Victory in Your Life is Closer Than You Think. I'm going to say that again. The key to victory in your life is closer than you think. You know, many times we have read and read the gospel of the crucifixion of Jesus over and over and over again. It seems like every time we read it, God shows us more revelation into his word. Every time you and I open up the Bible, there's more revelation for you and I to receive from the word of God. The Bible tells us that in Matthew, the 27th, chapter 45th verse, it reads as follows. Now from the sixth hour, there was darkness all over the land until the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani? That is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Now, I'm going to stop right there. In that 46th verse is a profound truth that many of us throughout the years have overlooked. And I'm going to share it with you today, what the Holy Spirit reveals to me. But before I begin to share that with you, I'm going to read what Romans, the 15th chapter and the 4th verse says. It says, for whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. What we find in the Bible was written for our learning, that we might find comfort in the scriptures and have hope. We see here, this is a part of the scriptures where it talks about Jesus' death on the cross. And in this chapter of Matthew 27, they were scorning him and they were mocking him while he was hanging there on the cross. They mocked him with sayings like saying that thou said you would destroy the temple in verse 40, destroy the temple and build it in 3 days. Say thyself, if thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross. You know, it says over there in Luke, they say that some even were just shaking their heads at Jesus while he was hanging on the cross in disbelief. He told us all this, but look at him up there now. He's hanging on a cross and he can't do nothing for himself. But see, Jesus knew what his mission was. Jesus knew that his mission from the Father was that he would come and he would die for the sins of mankind. The Bible says it like this in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave us his only begotten Son, that whosoever believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. In the 46th verse of the 27th chapter of the book of Matthew, when Jesus cried out in the ninth hour, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, that is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Jesus, in that moment, oh, my Lord, showed us what sin would do to us dealing with the Holy God. Do you hear me, beloved? Jesus, in that moment, showed you, showed me what sin would do to us in comparison to a holy God. See, in that very moment, the sins of the world were laid upon the body of Jesus. All the sin of mankind, all the sins of the world was laid upon Jesus' body. And in that moment, Jesus said, Jesus realized something that he hadn't never experienced before. He realized that there was a separation. You hear me, beloved? There was a separation from the Son to the Father. Oh, beloved, that's what sin would do to you. See, if you not have not repented of your sin, sin will separate you from the love of the Father. This sin was so heavy upon Jesus. Jesus spoke a profound truth on that cross, and no one at that time caught on to what he was saying. No one in that time realized what he was doing. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? See, sin cannot be in the presence of a holy God. Are you listening to me today, beloved? Sin cannot be in the presence of a holy God. Sin has no place in the presence of a holy God. See? I like how James 4 and verse 17 says, it says, all unrighteousness is sin. You hear that, beloved? All unrighteousness is sin. See, and we have to understand that when we do unrighteous acts, it is sin. Proverbs chapter 24 and verse 9 says, the thought of foolishness is sin. Even when we have foolish thoughts, it is sin. See, sin is a transgression of the law. 1 John 3 and 4 tells us, see, transgressions means to pass across, to go across a forbidden boundary line. See, when you and I commit sinful acts, we're crossing a line God never intended for us to cross. See, we're going in an area God never intended for us to go into. See, and when we cross that line, God has given us a boundary line in his word. And as you and I follow the word of God, we stay on the right side of the boundary instead of crossing over to the wrong side of the boundary. Oh, hear me today, beloved. Hear me today. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? The Bible said, him who knew no sin became sin for us, that our sins was laid upon his body at that cross. And because our sins was laid upon him, God had to look away, because sin must be judged. According to the law, sin must be judged. The Bible also says that unbelief is sin. Romans 14:23 says, whatsoever is not of faith is sin. See, Adam and Eve knew the good and perfect will of God, yet they sinned. They did not believe the word of God, but instead believed the word of the serpent. They fell from faith in the word of God to unbelief. See, when you believe the word of the serpent, you fall into unbelief. I'm going to say that again. When you believe in what the devil is trying to tell you, you fall into unbelief. See, you can only be in faith when you believe what the word of God says. The word of God says you heal. By his stripes you was healed. The devil said, no, you sick. The word of God says you are rich in the things of God. The devil said, no, you are poor in the things of the world. See, the Bible says, if you are friends with the world, you are an enemy against God. You see, the key to victory in your life is closer than you think, beloved. It is closer than you think. See, sin is a very dangerous thing to play with. In fact, it is nothing that we should play with. We should be aware of sin. See, we should be aware of what sin would try to do into our life. The Bible says that the wages of sin is death. It says, but the gift of God is eternal life. It is eternal life today in your life, in my life, if you trust in the word of God to do what it says. You see? Now I'm going to show you something in the word of God that's going to add to what Jesus did on the cross. See? Even though the sins was laid on his body, on the flesh, his spirit was not touched. His spirit was holy. His spirit was divine. You see? In Luke's gospel, the 23rd chapter, the 46th verse, it reads as follows. And when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, this is after darkness was upon the earth. This is after the veil in the temple was rent from top to bottom. It says, Jesus cried with a loud voice and he said, Father, hear this, my beloved. He said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And the Bible says, and having said thus, he gave up the ghost. All the other gospels does not record it that way. They said he gave up the ghost. But Luke give us a profound truth about our spirit and about the spirit, the divine spirit that is in Jesus Christ. See? See, Jesus said, even though his body, now hear me, beloved, even though his body had took upon the sins of man, and the Bible said, no sin shall be justified in the sight of God. Even though his body took on that sinful nature that man had on him, that body had to die. But the spirit in Jesus, the divine nature in Jesus, did not die. He said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. You see? See, it's when you and I are born again, then our spirit, man, become new. Hear me, beloved. I'm talking today about the key to victory in your life is closer than you think. When you are born again, when you have believe, confess with your mouth and believe with your heart that God has raised, that Jesus Christ came and died on the cross for your sins and God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. You shall be born again like Jesus told Nicodemus. You see? You will be born again, and that spirit man inside of you, that spirit, the spirit inside you, woman, is born again. See, now the spirit is in direct contact with a holy God. That spirit is in direct contact of getting your answer, your prayer answer. See, that spirit has you in contact with your heavenly Father. You know, I like how Paul says it over there in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 17. He says, for the flesh lusts against the spirit and the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary one to another, so that you cannot do the things you would. But if ye be led by the Spirit, that's capital S, that's talking about the Holy Spirit. But if you be led by the Spirit, ye are not under the law. See, Paul is telling us that if we allow ourselves to be led by the Spirit, we are not under the law. We're not under the law of condemnation. We're not under the law of sin and death. But we are under the law of spirit and life in Christ Jesus. See, Jesus was just only showing us, he was just only telling us how that you and I should walk in this life. In Romans, the 8th chapter, the first verse reads as follows. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the spirit. Capital S. You don't walk after the flesh, you walk after the spirit. For the law of the spirit of life, hear that, beloved. The law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made us free from the law of sin and death. Remember, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So the law of the spirit of life has made me free from the law of sin and death. See, when I choose to follow the spirit that's on the inside of me, when you choose to follow the spirit that's on the inside of you, the Holy Spirit that's on the inside of you, if you are a born again person, the key to it is you must be born again. And if you choose to follow him as he guides you and leads you and teach you into all things, see, you'll be walking in the very power of the Holy Spirit. You'll be walking in a way that you will begin to see results in your life. Because guess what, beloved? When you pray about something and you're anxious about that thing, the Holy Spirit will give you patience. He will bring to your remembrance like things. Be anxious for nothing, but through in everything through prayer and supplications, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God will guide and rule your heart through Christ Jesus. You see? See, he will guide you and lead you in the right way that you should go. See? But for many, they wrestle with the flesh and with the spirit. For many, they tend to lead to towards the, they lean towards the flesh and not walk in the spirit. See, Paul even said it over there in Romans, the 7th chapter, the 15th verse. Paul says it like this: for that which I do not allow, not for what I would, Paul is saying to us. See? I'm going to read that again for you, beloved. Paul is saying, for that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that I do. Paul said, the thing that I hate, I find myself doing. The thing that I don't want to do, I always seem to find myself doing. And then Paul goes on to say in verse 16, if then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Paul said, if I do what I choose not to do, then I'm consenting to the law that it is good. Now then, it is no more I that doeth, but sin that dwelleth in me. Paul is talking to us about our flesh. How, if you're not careful, your flesh will lead you. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing, for to will is present with me. But how to perform that which is good, I find not. See, because he's being led by his flesh. Paul said, this is a man, this is a woman that's being led by their flesh. When you're led by your flesh, ain't no good thing can come out of the flesh, beloved. See, when you follow to do the unrighteousness of the flesh, nothing good can come out of the flesh. You see, for the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. I'm going to read verse 19 again. For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now, if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. See, Paul is saying, when I find this out, that it is a law that when I would do good, evil is always present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. You hear that, beloved? Paul says he delight in the law of God, not the law of the flesh, but the law of God after the inward man, after that spirit, that same spirit. Jesus said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. See, that spirit, your spirit, my spirit, is in right connection with the Holy God because of what Jesus Christ has done on the cross. You see? But Paul says, but I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. See, Paul is saying with my mind, the spirit man in me, I can follow the law of God. The law that he wants me to follow. Being obedient to his word. In my spirit, I can follow it. Paul never tells us, and Paul is never explaining about himself, that he follows the law of God with his flesh. See? Your flesh cannot follow the law of God. Your flesh is corrupt. That's why when the sins of our sins was laid upon Jesus' body on the cross, God had to look away from that. See? He had to look away from that. Why? Because sin can tarry in the sight of a holy God. My Bible calls our God a consuming fire. That means anything that's not pure and holy, it will burn up in his sight. Because he is a holy fire. See? And in our spirit man and the spirit woman, there is the real truth. This is the key to your life and where your victory lies. It's in your spirit. When you allow your spirit to connect with the things of God, when you get it down in your spirit and you say, God's word said it and I believe it, and that's the final authority. He never told you to believe it with your flesh. My body might be racking with pain, but I'm not going to let my flesh dictate to me what my spirit believes. See? I may have a need in my life, but I'm not going to let that need dictate to me what my spirit believes. My spirit says, with men it is impossible, with God nothing shall be impossible. And my spirit is going to cling to the word of God, and my spirit is going to hold on to that word of God, glory be to God, and my spirit is going to believe what the word of God is telling me. And when you allow your spirit to believe what the word of God is telling you, then you allowing yourself to receive from God. The key to victory in your life is closer than you think. It's on the inside, beloved. It's on the inside of you. It's on the inside of me. The key to overcoming sin is on the inside, beloved. The key to whatever battle you may be facing in your life is on the inside, beloved. It is in your spirit that has direct access to a holy God. And when you walk in the spirit, you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. It is in your spirit that you overcome the lust of the flesh. The lust of the flesh is going to always be there until you get your glorified body that's not made by man's hands, but God himself has prepared you a body when you get to be with him. But you're going to have problems in this flesh. But it's your spirit that lives every day and move and live and have your being in Christ Jesus. It is your spirit that wakes up. That's why you and I should not ever wake up one day and not tell the Lord thank you for this day he has made. We should always be praising him and glorify him. And beloved, today I pray that something I said was a blessing to you. And I pray you will listen to this message and go back over and just hear what the Holy Spirit is saying to you. Oh, beloved, God is yours today. If you don't know Jesus in the pardon of your sins, he's yours today. All you have to do is confess with your mouth and believe.